Today, we embark upon a great journey together. During the year 2025, we will explore the story, the big story, the only story that really matters, together. It's God's story. It's not God's whole story. That would be more than we could possibly know or tell. Rather, the story we want to tell is the story of God at work in the history of the world. It's the story that begins with creation and is complicated by the sin of humanity, your sin and my sin. It's the story of how God dealt with that sin. It's the story of God's love. We read about that love throughout the Bible, but one of the places in which it is clearest is Psalm 36, a passage that will be our theme throughout this adventure. In Psalm 36:5, we read these words: "Your love, Lord, reaches to the heavens, your faithfulness to the skies." That's the love that we will see revealed in God's story, in our story, in the story that matters. We won't be able to tell everything we'd like to tell this year, but we've chosen the parts of the story that matter the most, the events which form the core of the narrative and help us see the unfolding love of God. It's our goal that in the telling of this story, we will be changed. Most good stories begin very simply, and this, the best story, begins with three simple words: in the beginning.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light.
That's the beginning. It all starts with light. There's no sun, moon, or stars, only light. But that light is an expression of God's great love as he places this light in opposition to the intense darkness, which is described as formless, empty, and deep. The light of God's presence invades the darkness and chaos, signaling that he is changing everything. This light finds an echo in a passage written thousands of years later by a follower of an itinerant religious leader in Palestine. This follower was a simple fisherman named John, but somewhere along the way, he developed the ability to express deep spiritual truths with an economy of words.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it.
God created with his voice. He spoke all that we know into existence. John used this truth to point to one who would come much later. But this one, the one he calls the Word, would fulfill God's great plan. His story is months away from us now, and it came millennia after creation. But John assures us that the Word is present, present at the beginning, present as our universe was spoken into existence.
God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day.
God saw that the light was good. John reminds us that the true light would not always be accepted so easily.
The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and through the world was made through him. And the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God.
And God said, "Let there be a vault between the waters to separate water from water." So God made the vault and separated the water under the vault from the water above it. And it was so. God called the vault sky, and there was evening, and there was morning the second day.
What do we do with this vault? The King James Version called it a firmament, to the confusion of English-speaking Christians for centuries. The ancients believed that since water fell from heaven, there must be some storehouse in the sky. On day two, God created this storehouse. We might call it the atmosphere. It's a little less mystical, but it points to the same concept. God created the world to operate with incredible precision, providing just what life would need. The system of evaporation and condensation might be beyond the scientific understanding of ancient Israelites, but they understood something very important. God made the earth to be quite an incredible home.
And God said, "Let the water under the sky be gathered to one place, and let dry ground appear." And it was so. God called the dry ground land, and the gathered waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good.
Let's face it, we are not sea creatures, and much of life on earth could not exist without land. We needed a place. We needed land to build homes and grow crops. God built up the land that we would have a place. But at this point, it's just bare ground. The beauty is yet to be.
Then God said, "Let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants, and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it according to their various kinds." And it was so. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day.
Life. This is the first sign of life in God's creation. Plants of all kinds burst forth from the earth. The ground was seemingly pregnant with it. And with God's command, the great oaks sprung forth. The grasses covered the prairies, and what once was dirt became dense jungle.
And God said, "Let there be lights in the vault of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark sacred times and days and years, and let them be lights in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth." And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day, and the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars. God set them in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day.
Remember that at this point, we have light, but we have yet to see the source of that light. On this day, God filled the expanse of space with incredible wonder. We can't grasp the size of Earth. We can't comprehend the expanse of the oceans that separate our continents. But Earth is only one of the smaller planets that circle our sun. And our sun is a minor player in the galaxy, which forms our larger home. Countless stars and countless other galaxies fill the universe God created.
And God said, "Let the water teem with living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the vault of the sky." So God created the great creatures of the sea and every living thing with which the water teems and that moves about in it, according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and increase in number, and fill the water in the seas, and let the birds increase on the earth." And there was evening, and there was morning, the fifth day.
Let us pray. I glory in your handiwork, O God. Towering mountains and deep valleys, dense forests and expansive deserts, fathomless depths of blue above, and immeasurable heights of blue above. When I peer into the universe of the telescope and the universe of the microscope, I stand in awe at the complexity and the simplicity, the order and the chaos, the infinite and the infinite variety of colors everywhere. When I watch the little creatures that creep upon the earth, I marvel at such purpose, such direction, such design. O Lord God, creator of the hummingbird and the Milky Way, I am lost in wonder at your originality. Amen.
And God said, let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, the livestock, the creatures that move along the ground, and the wild animals, each according to its kind. And it was so. God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good.
Somehow, this still was not enough. Creation was not finished. And it is before this final step of creation that we hear God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit discussing, planning for what seems to be the culmination of his creative work.
Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all of the wild animals, and over all of the creatures that move along the ground.
And so it was decided. God would create humans, and they would bear his image. Something of God has been placed within us. Is it a sense of self-awareness? Is it the fact that we can create as well? Maybe we don't create in the same sense that God does, but we do create nonetheless. Is God's image placed on us in the form of our love for justice and beauty? We have been debating the meaning of this phrase, the image of God, for millennia. But regardless of the debate, we know that God has placed something special within us that separates us from the rest of creation. Part of bearing the image of God is more about function than form. As image bearers, our job is to demonstrate who God is and what he is like by the way that we live. At the core of being human is sharing God with the rest of creation.
So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds in the sky and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food. And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array.
Here is our beginning. Made in God's image, humanity has its starting point. Uncorrupted by our sin, the first human beings enjoyed community with God, speaking to him directly. But we were given a charge. We were given responsibility here at the very beginning to watch over, to care for creation, to rule over it. Certainly, we have found ourselves eminently incapable of controlling the powerful forces of nature. Nonetheless, God has given us work to do, to care for what he has made.
Since the completion of creation, humans have attempted to find ways to praise God for what he has done. The psalmists of ancient Israel used these words.
Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens and the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars of which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them. You have made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You have made them rulers over the works of your hands, and you have put everything under their feet, all the flocks and the herds and the animals of the wild, the birds of the sky and the fish in the sea, all that swim the paths of the seas. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth.
This attempt to praise the Creator did not end as the last words of the Bible were written. Christians in the middle of the last millennium formed the words of this prayer.
O Heavenly Father, who have filled the world with beauty, open our eyes to behold your gracious hand and all your works, that rejoicing in your whole creation, we may learn to serve you with gladness. For the sake of him, through him all things were made, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Once again, we return to the words of John, the fisherman who became a follower of Jesus and wrote an account of Jesus' life that is such an important part of our Bibles. We hear him echo the words of creation as he opens his story of Jesus' life.
The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth.
One of the mysteries of creation is that when God completed his work, he rested. Creating the universe took 6 days, and then God rested on the seventh day. We can only guess why our all-powerful God needed rest. But whether he needed it or simply just chose to rest, we know that he did, and his actions form an example for us.
By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all of his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done.
God of creation and Lord of the Sabbath, you have created the heavens and the earth and rested on the seventh day. You commanded your ancient people to cease from their work and rest in your love. Save us from our frantic religious activities and enable us to let go of our neurotic anxieties. Reveal to us the glory that we have gazed upon your beauty and filled with your love.
What is the proper response to God's creative activity? Throughout Scripture, the obvious response to God's work in creation is praise. When we see what God has done, what can we do but praise him? What else is there?
Your love, Lord, reaches to the heavens, your faithfulness to the skies. Your righteousness is like the highest mountains, your justice like the great deep. You, Lord, preserve both people and animals. How priceless is your unfailing love, O God. People, take refuge in the shadow of your wings.